أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 180 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين prescribed for you when death approaches any of you and he leaves behind any property is that he makes a bequest for his parents and relatives in an honorable manner an obligation on the God-wary. This verse is another obligation after كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصِ قِصَاص is written on you which we discussed last week. This is a different type of legislation about wasiyah, making will on the moment of death or before that. Now, this verse is one of those verses which has been a point of controversy between Shia and Sunni. Sunnis mainly believe that this verse has been abrogated because then we have the verse about the fara'id or the inheritance shares. That's يُوسِكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ Allah determines the shares of the parents, the husband, the spouses, the children. So what is the purpose of this then? If we have that, what's the purpose of this? Now, the Shia imams and Shia scholars, of course, following them, have held that, no, this is not abrogated. This is something in addition to what has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other views as well. For example, some people say that it is only permissible after that verse of shares, it's only permissible for those relatives who do not receive any share, like, for example, brothers and sisters or cousins, if the children are available. And there are other views about that. However, let's talk about the Shi'i view on this verse. The Shi'i views that this is not abrogated. And we have one hadith in Majmu' al-Bayan from Amirul Mu'min alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ دَخَلَ عَلَى مَوْلًا لَهُ فِي مَرَضِهِ He visited one of his companions when he was ill, well, of course, probably approaching death, and he had 700 dirham, which was not a large sum of money. فَقَالَ عَلَى أُوصِي He said, should I not make a will as I'm on the verge of death, قال الله إنما قال الله إن ترك خيرا ولك ليس لك كثير مال. He said, you don't need to make any wasiyah because Allah in this verse says that if he leaves a huge sum of money, خير here means a huge sum of money, something which really benefits people. And it's very interesting that Allah actually has referred to wealth as khair here. Usually we despise wealth and material things, but of course, because that is, if people have taqwa and use it correctly, it is really khair. So he says, إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا If they leave khair. And khair, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that khair here means malun kathir, huge sum of money. Now, what does this mean? After we have the verse about the shares in Surah Nisa, يُوسِيكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرَ مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيَ And then all those shares which are mentioned about for parents, for spouses. What's the meaning of this? What's the purpose of wasiyah for walidain, parents, and aqrabin, and relatives? Now, the Sunnis report a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him, that he said, لَا وَسِيَّةَ لِوَارِثٍ You cannot make a will for an inheritor beyond what Allah has prescribed for them. For example, if your daughter, you have daughters and sons, and the inheritance is being divided, distributed among them according to the shares prescribed in the Quran, you cannot add anything to what one of them can take from your one third, which is your authority to give to anyone you wish. So you cannot make a will for those who take some inheritance. You can make for others, but not for them. Well, the Shia scholars say that this hadith has not been established for us. It has not been proven for us that the Prophet has said such a thing. So, and this verse actually says, لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ, for the parents, you make a will for the parents. And the parents are those who are inheritors, who always have a share of inheritance. So that hadith is against this ayah, unless if we say this ayah is abrogated, and we have no reason to say that the ayah is abrogated, especially that Shia imams have said that the ayah is not abrogated. So what does that mean? It means that there are relatives who don't have a share of inheritance. For example, if someone have children and parents and spouse, then brothers and sisters would not have a share of inheritance, certainly. Their inheritance is divided between the first rank of inheritors. Now, it is mustahab, highly recommended, that if person is rich and this huge sum of money is being left behind, he makes a will from one third of their whatever they have for those relatives who do not receive any share of inheritance, for example, for brothers and sisters, especially if they are in need, it is highly recommended that a share of inheritance be given to them. Also, from that one third, the two third, of course, we cannot touch. It goes to the inheritors according to the shares that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Quran. But the one third, not only for those relatives who do not take a share of the inheritance, also for some of the relatives who take the share, some share from inheritance, but they need more than others. Like, for example, if the parents are in need, especially because they are mentioned here, لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ, or if, for example, one of the sisters or brothers are not well-to-do, but others are well-to-do, it's good that you make a will that from my one-third give this share to, for example, this son or that daughter. This is what we understand from this verse, and this is what Shia imams have recommended very highly. Now, I mentioned a few hadiths about this from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that mention it is highly recommended to do that. For example, in Al-Kafi, there is hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. He was asked, is it permissible to make wasiyah for an inheritor? Someone who has a share, the share will be given to them. Of course, you cannot make any change to that. But is it permissible to make extra wasiyah for them from the third? فَقَالَ تَجُوزُ. He said, yes, of course, it's permissible. ثُمَّ تَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. And then he recited this ayah. Also, we have one hadith in Majma'ul Bayan and also in Tafsir Ayyashi from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, qala man lam yusa inda mawtihi lidhawi qarabatih mimman la yarith faqad khatama amalahu bima'siyat. Now, this is a very strong hadith, of course. He said, whoever does not make a will when the signs of death appears and when the person wants to die, whoever does not make a will for those relatives who have no share of inheritance, then they have sealed their actions with ma'siyah. with sin. It's a ma'asiyah, yet, well, here, of course, again, this ma'asiyah is not one of those sins which will be questioned about. It is telling us that it is so recommended, it is so important that you make a will for those relatives who do not have a share of inheritance, that it is as if you have committed a ma'asiyah if you do not give them some share. Give them some share of what you have, you leave behind. Now, there is one other thing in the verse. It says, "Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-maut," when death approaches, "in taraka khayran," if you leave a considerable sum of money, al-wasiyatu lil-walidayn wal-aqrabin bil-ma'ruf. What's bil-ma'ruf here in an honorable manner? They have said honorable manner means that the wasiyah should not be so small that it's humiliating for someone who receives it. So for example, you make the will for a very small amount of, just to somehow say, I have acted according to this verse, give a very small sum of money to someone, this is not acceptable. Or you leave a huge sum of money for a person who does not desire it, as against others. For example, the two-thirds is distributed between 10 of your children, and one-third you give to one person or one relative or one friend or whatever. It is actually not acceptable. It's not bil ma'ruf. Bil ma'ruf means that it shouldn't be extremes on both ways. And also, we have one very interesting hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam when he was on his deathbed. It's actually an act based on this verse that he did. We know that what we expect from the Prophet and from A'imma alayhi salam is that they are the ones who act according to the Quran before everyone else and above everyone else. Now, there is one very interesting hadith in this regard, and the ulama actually have used that hadith to prove the ruling of that this verse has not been abrogated. Shia ulama has used that hadith to prove that this verse has not been abrogated. And that is when Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was in his deathbed, he made a will. If we don't make a will, what happens if we do not make a will? If we don't have debts, or if people don't owe anything, we don't need to make a will, of course. Making a will is to somehow clarify things after ourselves. So making a will is always, always recommended. However, if we don't have debts or if people do not owe us anything, because what they owe to us are the right of the inheritors. So it's better to make a will. What happens if we do not make a will? If we do not make a will and we don't have any debt or people do not owe anything, the wealth that we leave behind is distributed among the inheritors automatically according to the rules of Sharia. So there's no worry about that. However, if we want to use the one-third of our wealth, which is very recommended that we use it, and nowadays, for some people, it has become more valuable to, for example, to make a will to give money to charities. Of course, if we don't have anyone, it's fine. But what the Quran advises us before and above everything else are the relatives. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah commands you to add an ihsan and giving to the relatives. And also, وَسِيَّةً لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Before everyone else, parents and relatives should be considered in wasiyah. Making this wasiyah, especially what the Quran says, إِذَا حَذَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, when you are approaching death, when you are on verge of going, we know that sooner or later we are going, then this wasiyah should be made. Now, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam made this wasiyah when he was on his deathbed, actually. He was very ill. because he was given poison. He was very ill. He knew that he could not be saved from that illness. So he said, give Hassan ibn Ali, ibn Ali ibn al-Hussein. Hassan ibn Ali was grandson of Imam Zain al-Abidin. One of the sons of Imam Zain al-Abidin was called Ali, and his son Hassan, who is known as Hassan al-Aftas. Hassan al-Aftas because he had very broad nose. He was called Aftas. He's one of the Imamzadas in Iran now, near Iraq, near Qom. He's buried there because he had, of course, he was one of the Zaydis who fought against Abbasids, and then he retreated, and then he was killed there. He was martyred, actually. And now, on his deathbed, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam said that, give Hassan ibn Ali, who was his cousin, 80 dinar. And 80 dinar was a considerable sum of money at that time. It's different from dirham. Give Hassan ibn Ali 80 dinar. One of the relatives who was present, she said she was a lady, she said that, have we heard correctly? You mean Hassan ibn Ali, the one who attacked you by a dagger. He wanted to kill you. Because some of these Imamzadas, so to speak, because they were Zaydis, they were very much against the approach of our Imams towards the system, that the Imams were more, of course, focusing on education. They tried not to involve very much in hard politics because people were really corrupt. For on both sides, people were corrupt. There was no way of somehow engaging in politics at that time for Aimma. In hard politics, of course, no one can ever withdraw from politics. Whatever you do is political. But in hard politics, they couldn't. So they were against the Imams. And sometimes they became very angry that why Imams took such a stance vis-a-vis the government. So this Hassan ibn Ali was one of those, of course, revolutionaries, very hardline. And once he was so angry that he attacked Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam with a dagger to kill him. Now, this lady said, you want to give Hassan ibn Ali, who has attacked you with a dagger to kill you, 80 dinar? He said, yes, of course. Don't you want me to be included in this verse, الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. Those who join with those that Allah has commanded them to join, which are relatives, of course. This is one of those instances. We realize the importance of such a sort of this relationship with relatives, that how much Allah is strongly advising us towards that. And then he said that the Jannah is perfumed by Allah in such a way that its fragrance could be felt from 2,000 years distance. Now, based on those days' travel, imagine if, for example, Jannah is on the sun. Okay, imagine if Jannah is on the sun. Now, the sun is very far away, it's 150 million kilometers away from us, isn't it? But we feel its heat, we see the light, isn't it? Although it's very far away, we see the light, we feel the heat. Otherwise, we die if sun was not there. Imagine if Jannah was on the sun and we were here. We would have smelled the fragrance of Jannah from here. This is how fragrant, how Allah has perfumed Jannah. It's unimaginable how it is, actually. He said that the Jannah is perfumed by Allah, but its perfume would not be felt from 2,000 years distance by one aq wa qati'u rahimin, one who disrespects parents, or annoy parents, more than disrespecting, of course, and the one who cut off with relatives. So I don't want to be one of them. So this practice of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam is certainly according to the verse which is mentioned here. Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahdakum al-maut in taraka khayran al-wasiyyatu lil-walidayn wal-aqrabin bil-ma'roof haqqan alal muttaqin. It is a haq on muttaqin. If you are God-weary, if you have taqwa, then of course this is a haq on you. Now, what about those believers who don't have much taqwa? Okay, it's not obligatory, it is recommended. But if you are a muttaqi person, then this proves, by doing this, it proves that you are a muttaqi. Haqqan alal muttaqi. Faman baddalahu, the following verse, faman baddalahu ba'dama sami'ah fa'innama ithmuhu ala alladhina yubaddilunahu. Inna Allah Sami'un Alim. Now, because these wasiyas were oral, especially the wasiyah which came on the verge of death, someone may have written a wasiyah already, but on the verge of death they change their mind. They say, for example, I want to give such and such person this amount of money. Now, the wasi, if someone hearing it and changing it, because of some grudge, for example, that this person has against that person. Why you want to give money? Just like what we heard from Ja'far al-Sadiq, they said, why you want to give money to Hasan ibn Ali, who was your enemy? Why you want to give him? Now, if anyone hearing this wasiyah and change it, there is nothing on the mayyat. There's nothing on them. They have fulfilled their duty. You say, give this amount to my cousin. They don't give it. It is as you have given it. Then the earth, the sin would go to someone who has changed it. فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَمَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِسْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah, of course, is hearing what the wasiyah is and is knowledgeable what you do later on with that wasiyah. Fakhruddin Razi mentions something very strange here, very strange. He says that the ulama has argued that this verse is an evidence that the children of kuffar would not be punished because of the kufr of their parents. And it's very strange why he mentions it, because it's obvious. Why do we need this verse to prove that someone who has not committed a sin would not be punished because of sin of others? And we have many other verses. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وَزْرَ أُخْرَىٰ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَىٰ. We have all these verses. Then the ulama have focused on this verse, that this is an evidence that children of kuffar would not be punished because of what their parents do. It's right, but it's strange taking this as an evidence, because this is from Badihiyatul Aql. It's some rationally obvious that children are not responsible for what their parents do or believe. Now, let me read one hadith from Al-Kafi, from one of the imams, either Imam al-Sadiq or al-Baqir. He says, an ahadihima, from one of them, that fi rajulin awsa bimalihi fi sabilillah qala a'tihi liman awsa bihi lah wa in kana yahudiyan aw nasraniyan inna Allah yaqul فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ أَلَّا الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ وَفِي مَعْنَهُ أَخْبَارٌ كَثِيرًا. Then, of course, there are many other verses, reports like this. Here, the interesting thing is that sometimes we don't like the wasiyah of a person. Imam says, even if they are Yahudi or Nasrani, even if they are non-Muslims, if someone makes a wasiyah from one third, you have to fulfill it. You have to deliver. It's not your business whether it's right or wrong, unless if it's F. In the following verse, of course, we have فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوثٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا. If it is a sin, then that's fine. You shouldn't carry it out. But whatever the wasiyah is, which is not a sin. And there's one other interesting point here. For the converts who convert to Islam, and their parents would not inherit them. Or for the parents who convert to Islam, their children would not inherit them. It is permissible for them to make a will for their parents or for their children from one third of the of the wealth they leave behind. And maybe one of the reasons that parents are mentioned here, that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَذَرَ أَحَدَكُمْ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ, although والدين have share, maybe one of the reasons was because many of the parents of those believers were still not Muslims. Maybe one of the reasons. And here, to appreciate the right of parents, even when they were not Muslims, they could make a will giving something to their parents who were not Muslims. Now, that as I said, this is just a speculation. However, in our time, for the converts who convert to Islam, have good money, but their parents are not Muslim, or their relatives are not Muslim, from one third of their share, they can make a wasiyah that give such and such person, for example, this amount of money, because they do not inherit. A non-Muslim would not inherit a Muslim, according to Sharia, but they can actually give this amount to them based on such a will. Now, فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. But should someone, fearing deviance or sin on the testator's behalf. Now, the previous verse is that if you change the wasiyah, if you do not act according to it, then the sin is on you. But there is a caveat here. And the caveat here is if there was the musi, the one who makes the will, is somehow deviating from justice or deviating from Sharia. فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا. Janaf has been translated differently. Some say Janaf means mistake and ith means sin. And some say other things that I will mention later on. If someone fears deviance or sin from the Musi, and then set things right between them, فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Now, there are two meanings for this. One is that if there was the Musi, the person who makes the will, for example, say, give one of my sons, for example, more than others, not from one third, wants to give the share not based on Sharia, of course the wasi would not carry it out, would not do. Or if, for example, he says, give one third of my money to the lottery, it's a sin, it's not allowed. Or use one third for such a purpose which is a sin in Islam, then this is something that should not be carried out. This is one meaning. The other meaning is that when the will is made and the inheritors are there and the Musi, the one who makes the will, says something but the inheritors do not accept. They say, no, this is not right. You shouldn't do it. Of course, it's very mean when someone is dying, people start haggling and talking about what shares should they take. But if such a thing happen, it is right for the Wasi to try to make peace between them in a way that all parties are happy about it. So, فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا فَلَا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ, and tries to set things right between them, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. However, the first meaning is better. If the wasi makes mistake in wasiyya by giving more shares to others, for example, or if makes a sin by making a wasiyya which is not allowed, then the wasi should not carry it out and should carry it out according to sharia. Now we have one hadith here from Imam al-Sadiq in Tafsir al-Qummi. إِذَا أَوْسَ الرَّجُلْ بِوَسِيَّةٍ. If someone makes a will, فَلَا يَحَلُّ لِلْوَسِيَّ أَنْ يُغَيِّرَ وَسِيَّتَهُ بَلْ يُمْزِيهَا عَلَى مَا أَوْسَى. The wasi, the one who should carry the will, carry out the will, cannot change it and should do it according to what the will has been. إِلَّا أَنْ يُوسِي بِغَيْرِ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ فَعَصَى فِي الْوَسِيَّةِ وَيَظْلِمْ. Unless if he makes a will against the command of Allah and he makes injustice against some of the inheritors, or he sins in wasiyah, فَالْمُوسَى إِلَيْهِ جَائِزٌ لَهُ أَنْ يَرُدَّهَا إِلَى الْحَاقِ. The one who wants to carry out the wasiyah, the testator, is actually allowed to act according to the sharia. Like what? رَجُلٌ يَكُونُ لَهُ وَرَثَةٌ. A person has inheritors. فَيَجْعَلُ الْمَالُ كُلَّهُ لِبَعْضِ وَرَثَتِهِ وَيُحْرِمُ بَعْضَهَا. For example, have several children, say, give all my money to one of the children and deprive others, the wasi cannot carry it out, should not carry it out, should actually return to sharia. فَالْوَسِي جَائِزٌ لَهُ أَنْ يُرَدُّهُ إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا. فالجنف الميل إلى بعض ورثتك. Because janaf initially means like hanaf. Hanaf and hanif means someone who somehow inclines towards the center. Janaf means inclining towards outside this deviation. So فالجنف الميل إذا بعض ورثتك. جنف is when you incline towards some of your inheritance and deprive others. والإثم أن تأمر. Now, what is إثم? فمن خاف من موسى جنفا أو إثما أن تأمر بإمارة بيوت النيران. For example, it says that these places that Majus had, they worship fire in it. واتخاذ المسكر, or for example, buy such and such wine for such and such parties with my money. It's not allowed. فيحل للوسي أن لا يعمل بشيء. Then, of course, وسي cannot act according to that. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Thank you, Sheikh. Very interesting. Shall we start with the sisters if they have something to add to the debate, or we start with the brothers? Yeah, I think the brother in the end.
Thanks very much, Sheikh. What happens to inheritors who Allah has guided should receive inheritance if they've actively, for example, done something against you, say a son who hasn't, not even respect, if they've actively committed a crime against you, or the imam's wife who tried to poison him, would she receive inheritance? It seems mad to me.
Well, the qatil does not receive, the murderer does not receive inheritance anyhow. But apart from that, no one could be deprived of their inheritance, unless if they go out of Islam, okay? Because a kafir would not inherit. Otherwise, nothing would deprive inheritors from their inheritance. Yeah.
Thank you. Sisters?
No? Riyadh? Continuing. Continuing from that point, if somebody has been made arq in the lifetime, will they still inherit?
Yeah, they still inherit. They still inherit, yes.
Unless it's written in the will.
Riyadh?
Sorry, just to continue. So in simple words, you are saying that they will still inherit, but the caveat is the Islam. If somebody has gone out of Islam as a child, they will not inherit.
Yes, that's
thank you.
Riyad?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much for the talk. Sheikh, just looking at the position of the executor of the will, who is going to carry out the conditions of the will, I think it's quite clear when the testator, the person who's made the will, has either knowingly or unknowingly made a mistake within the will, which can be clearly identified and corrected. For example, like you said, buy some wine for a party. That can be excluded and it can be sorted out. I think the problem arises when the executor, the person who's carrying out the will, has their own ideas about what should actually happen. So for example, in the situation of the Imam who left the money to Hassan ibn Ali ibn Hussein, the executor, if he wasn't present at the time, looking at the will saying, clearly this can't happen because this person is a murderer or he intended to kill the Imam. How can this happen? This person is outside Islam as far as I'm concerned. And he has now made his own, in inverted commas, judgment about the appropriateness of the will. So how can we avoid that, you know, if you're in the position of the executor, to stop putting our own view and changing things? Because from the perspective of an executor who's not there, it's a prima facie case. You could actually say, this person had an intention to kill the Imam. He's out of Islam. He cannot. He's, you know... He cannot.
No, by intention of killing the Imam, he's not out of Islam. I mean, these terms are very technical, kafir, or it's not by, for example, committing a sin or something like that, a person will become kafir, or someone who kills someone else. In fact, one of the arguments of Imam Ali against the Khawarij, who regarded someone who commits a kabira, a grave sin, is kafir, he said, do you not know that when someone kills someone as prophet, carried out the qisas on the request of the family, but then did salatul janaza for him. So how could you say that he's a murderer is out of Islam, although it's a grave sin, but Prophet did not regard it as going out of Islam. Now, it's very clear. Going out of Islam means you change your religion, or means you repudiate religion of Islam. Not doing acts which we regard as, for example, grave sins or something like that. Therefore, yes, there is always that possibility, but the executor cannot actually just make his own judgment whether a person deserves or does not deserve. And then, of course, the person could refer to a court or to the judge that, well, this will has been made, and he's not giving my share. The question which arose at the time of death of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was not the fact that the person didn't want to carry it out. It was amazement that how you make such a will rather than, of course, then it's فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا سَمَعَهُ, whoever changes it. And actually that verse is probably in most cases refers to what you say. People have their own views and ideas and they want to change, and Allah says the sin is on them. Yeah.
Sheikh, just a point of clarification here. Relating to the first question where the gentleman asked that Imam's wives were sort of involved in carrying out their deaths,
All Imam's wife. You are all Imam's wives.
No, no. Sorry about that. Not all Imam's. Okay.
One or two. One case.
So in that case, now, although she was directly involved, then she would not be regarded as a kafir, but she would not inherit.
No, qatil does not inherit.
Killer.
The killer of someone from whom he inherits does not inherit.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you. If I kill my father, God forbid, then I cannot inherit my father, or vice versa.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Thank you. Sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. You know, last time when we talked about inheritance, you recommended, or maybe if I'm right in my thinking, to it is good to give your inheritance in your lifetime.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you talk about this one third, and, you know, to give to relatives is so mustahab, and you still recommend to give that in your lifetime?
Well, if we give in lifetime, that's much better.
But is it considered part of inheritance?
No, it's not considered part of inheritance. Whatever we give in our lifetime is gift, is charity, or whatever.
So which is better, inheritance giving?
Of course, when we give in lifetime is better. But when we haven't given, it is very good to do this on the moment of death.
Thank you. Any brothers?
We say anything which is of the son belongs to the father, yeah? I mean, that's why they say riba is allowed between the son and father, because it's just, it belongs everything to the father, yeah? So if the father is alive, does anyone else can inherit?
No, it doesn't belong to the father. It is a sort of honor possession, you know, because of the honor of the father, it is as if he owns whatever their son have. We have in hadith, anta wa maluka la'abik. You and your possession belong to your father. Of course, the possession is the wealth. But what about he himself? Is he a slave of father? No. It's just speaking in honor of the father. And therefore, no, of course, the property. I cannot go and take the property of my son saying that it belongs to me. Yes, of course, I'm allowed when I go to their home to eat whatever I want, to spend whatever I want. But I cannot, for example, take his car and say that it belongs to me. It's, no. But as a matter of respect, the Imam says that if your father wants something from you, you cannot. It's not good for you, for example, to refrain giving. That's what it means. Otherwise, there is a clear marking between the two properties.
Because I understand in one of the Sunni school of thought that there is that if the father is alive, everything goes to him.
Well, it's not possible because it would be against the Quran. Because the Quran says for each of the parents there is 1/6. It's not possible that everything goes to them. I don't know which school of Sunni is that. Maybe it's not a school of Sunni, but it's a home of Sunni who believes like that. Yeah.
Thank you, any sisters? So just a clarification. We Shias believe that, okay, from 1/3 we can make our own will. Yes. Do the Sunnis? Oh, I thought I understood that the Sunnis.
Yeah, they're the same. It's the same.
The same.
Yeah, it's the same. Yes.
So where do they disagree?
Disagreed about this verse, whether it's abrogated or not. Okay, they say this verse is abrogated by the verse which describes the shares. The Shia say no, it's not abrogated. So it is recommended. It is not wajib, but it is recommended to make that will from 1/3.
So then, does it follow from that, because of the Sunni's belief, that they said that the Prophet could not give in will the garden of Fadak to Bibi Fatima? Is that why?
I don't think so, because that was not a will, of course. It was in his lifetime. So it wasn't a will, no.
Okay. Any other brothers, sisters? Yep.
Sheikh, why is it stressed, this issue about deathbed? Because a lot of people die out of accident at an early age. So why is it encouraged to wait till your deathbed?
No, it's not encouraged to wait until deathbed, but this is the last chance, isn't it? It's the last chance. Especially if you want to change something, it's the last chance.
I understand that, but in the UK, we're always encouraged, you know, make a will, even if you're 20 years old and
even
healthy.
Even in Islam, it's always encouraged. But we always can change it, isn't it?
Okay.
Any other sisters, brothers? So just one more question from my side. If I make a will from one third, just tell my wife that this is my will and do not open it until my death. And then I've explained her everything. But then when it is opened, then the distribution of that seems to be unjust. Will it still be honored or what?
Unjust to what?
For example, I have children, and then I give a little bit more to some other children,
yes,
little less.
Yes, you can do that. It's not unjust. It's actually just because it belongs to you.
Yeah.
And you want to give that one third to one of your children. It's not unjust. Because the children have their shares from two thirds. Okay. That one third belongs to you, and you can do whatever you want, make whatever will you want, and you, if you want to give it to one of the children cannot say this is not justice. Because justice is when you don't have right on that property. You have right on that property.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other to clarify? I thought it will create more debate here on this one.
Yes, inshallah.
But anyway.
We go earlier because of the snow.
Thank you, Muhammad Wa Ali Muhammad Salwa.
Allahumma salli ala.
Continue next Sunday, inshallah.